Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. And boy, it's good to be out in the house of the Lord. I hate it that we have to do it this way on Christmas Day. It seems like a devil has fought us this week. It has been a battle. But I'm glad I'm on the winning side. And I'm glad as the girls sang, it was so wonderful, more than wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. He is wonderful in his birth. He was wonderful in his death. He's wonderful in his resurrection. He'll be wonderful when he comes back one day. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I'm glad to be worshiping him here on the Lord's Day. He's such a great God. Even though the circumstances are a little difficult today and our parking lot is icy and it's cold and frigid, I am glad I got some warmth in my soul because I got a reality that God is real. Christ is real. The Holy Ghost is real. The three that bear witness in heaven are one, and thank God for the great Trinity that said, let us make man in our own image. And I would, if you would, today go to Philippians chapter number 2. We've been preaching a series, and we thank God for the opportunity to preach this series on Christmas Unwrapped. We preached on Christmas biology and that Jesus was born of a virgin. I'm glad that I'm certain of it. You said, but I can't explain it. Well, let me say this to you. It is by faith. By faith we know the worlds were created by the Word of God. Every step of the Christian life is by faith. But you say the virgin birth is impossible. But my Bible said all things are possible with God. So today we're going to be covering and concluding, we hit on last week, Christmas theology. We'll conclude that thought along with preaching today on Christmas doxology. But my message today is this thought, and then I'll read the verses, then preach to you. I'm going to be preaching on the God who came down. I'm glad he looked down and saw my need, but I'm glad that he came down and provided for me and provided for you. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Open your Bibles at the house. Let's worship. Let's follow God. Let's look what the Word of God says. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, of any fellowship of the Spirit, of any vows of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Here's the key verse of Philippians 2 that connect verses 1 through 4 and verses 6 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord, who being in the form of God, thought it not be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray you'll anoint me in these next few moments as I exalt your Son, the God who came down, enrobed himself in human flesh, bore our sins, and now is sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession. And Lord, as we deal with this doxology in this passage, this song about our Lord, help us, God, to give ultimate glory to him. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. As Jesus was preparing to go to his destiny, to the cross of Calvary, he took his disciples up to a place that, and by the way, you that's going to Israel with me, you're going to experience this. We're going to go all the way to the northern end of Israel to a place called Caesarea Philippi. And there Jesus asked a penetrating, piercing, thought-provoking question. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then they made statements like this. They said, some says thou art Elias, John the Baptist, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then he looked them right in the eye. And he said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter, you know, loudmouth Peter, the guy that could get his foot in his mouth real easy, he looked and he made this statement. And I'll tell you what, Peter didn't come up with this, but he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father, which in heaven, has revealed that to you. And then he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. But ladies and gentlemen, before you get out of this life, you're going to have to answer that question. Who is Jesus? And in Philippians chapter number 2, it's going to give us a picture of who he is. In John chapter number 1, he is God. That's what Peter said. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In John 1, he said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God in incarnation. In the book of Colossians, it said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God in creation. In Hebrews, it said, Jesus Christ is the God of revelation. If it wasn't for Christ who became flesh, we would have no revelation of God. That's why he said to one of the disciples, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Hallelujah. And then here in Philippians, we see Jesus Christ is the God of humiliation. What a great passage. And I told you verse 5 is the key passage of this scripture. It looks toward the statement in verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, as Lord. And it's giving us a description of the mind of Christ. And then verses 9 through 11 illustrates and provides us a great illustration of the mind of Christ. And then tucked in there, we see him in his humiliation, his renunciation, and all that he became for you and I. So there's three things I want to give you from this passage of Scripture. First of all, in verses 2, 1 through 4, we need to cultivate the character of Christ. If you're saved, if you're born again, and you have the name of Christ, you ought to live like it. You ought to be holy. You ought to be separated. You ought to have the character of Christ. And in these first four verses, Paul is saying, we need to enjoy the divine blessings of God. How many know? Right there, you ought to shout right there while I'm preaching right now that God has blessed you. You're a blessed man. You're a blessed woman. You're a blessed young person if you're saved by the grace of God. Amen. That therefore looks back to verse 27 of chapter 1, where it said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Everything that we do, every program that we have, as we get ready to go to a new year, ought to be about the gospel of Christ and the glory of Christ and the salvation by Christ. Amen. Verse 1, it talks about these ifs. Look what it says. If there therefore be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if it be any fellowship of the Spirit, if there be any bowels of mercies. Listen to this. If there's any encouragement in Christ, and there is. If there's any comfort of love, and there is. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is. If there's any affection and mercy, there is. You know what Paul is saying? You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be hurting. You don't have to be despondent. You've got a Christ that's real, that's magnificent, and you can trust Him. Amen. Not only do we need to enjoy the divine blessings of God, we need to exhibit the divine behavior of Christ. That shows us in our unity, in our humility, and our sensitivity. In verse number 2, it gives us four aspects of unity. It talks about being like-minded. Well, there's a lot of people. They're just not like-minded. That literally means think the same thing, have the same love, be of one accord. Be of one mind. That means we think right. That's the character of Christ. We need to let His mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. Then you need to let your life be a characterization, or be characterized by humility in verse number 3. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord and one mind, and let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Boy, I tell you what, I think sometimes we're just too puffed up. Just this whole passage is talking about a God that would condescend and come down to this earth and die for us and come in humility and come so low so we could go so high. That ought to change our behavior. That ought to make us want to be like Christ. Amen. We ought to be humble. We must want to be humble. Being conceited, being arrogant, in Christ-likeness. And when Christ came, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God. But I'll cover that in a moment. But we can't approach God with pride and arrogance. We need to approach Him in humility, giving Him all glory. And we need to let, in verse number 4, let our life be characterized by sensitivity. Look what the Bible said. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I'll tell you one of our big problems. Let's just tell it like it is. We think of ourselves too highly. We do. You know what you are? You're nothing but dirt and dust. And your righteousness is as filthy rags. And we're nothing. And He's everything. Oh, if we could just grip that. Number 2, let's look at a second consideration. Let's consider the cross of Christ. Look at verses 6 through verse 8. It said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let's look at 3 things. I want you to see his humility in verse 6 and his renunciation. He said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, he was God. He was in the form of God. He was God in the flesh. He has always been God. From everlasting to everlasting. You study your Bible. Jesus didn't start. Listen to me. He did not start in Bethlehem. No, no. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He's the eternal Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh, or tabernacled amongst us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He renunciated himself. He was God. He was equal with God. But he said, I am going down to the level of man. And I am going to take on myself humanity. And what the first Adam, the chaos the first Adam caused, I will be the last Adam. And I will give you victory. I did a little study about Adam and Christ and their comparison and their contrast. Let me give it to you if I may. Adam, he was made in divine image. Christ, he was and is the very essence of God. Adam, he thought it a prize to be grasped and to be as God. Jesus thought it not a prize to be grasped and to be as God. Adam aspired to a reputation. Jesus made himself, Jared, of no reputation. Adam spurned being God's servant. Jesus, in the incarnation, became God's servant. Adam sought to be in the very likeness of God. But God, Son, was in the likeness of man. Adam, being found in the fashion of man of dust, now doomed, exalted himself and became disobedient unto death. Jesus, being found in the fashion of a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Adam was condemned and disgraced, but Jesus will be highly exalted by God and given a name that's above all names. Glory to God. That ought to make you shout. In verse 7, I want you to see his humility in his incarnation. I like this. Look what it says. He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was then made in the likeness of man. And being found in as a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Look at these four statements in that passage. He took the form, or the morph in the Greek, of a servant. He was made in the likeness and the fashion of man. He humbled himself, or he became low. He that was high, he that was holy, he that owned the cattle on 1,000 hills, he that made everything, humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He died on the cross. And that is the ultimate humiliation. They smote his beard. They smacked him and beat him. And beat him with a cat of nine tails. And by Roman crucifixion, they give him 1,049 lashes. Dust was all over him. Spit was running down his face. Blood was everywhere. Hanging there. Stripped. Hanging there. Destitute. Between heaven and earth. That's the ultimate humiliation. That humiliation in crucifixion. That great condensation from heaven to earth. Come and die for you. We all deserve hell. We all deserve to be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. But he came. And he looked beyond our fault. And saw our need. And humiliated himself. And went to Calvary's cross for you and I. There's been an illustration made of some said he ought to have been born in another place. He was born in Bethlehem. He stepped off of eternity out into a manger. Some said let him be born in Alexandria, the intellectual capital of the world. Some said let him be born in Rome, the political capital of the world. Some said let him be born in Athens, the philosophical capital of the world. Some said let him be born in Jerusalem, the spiritual capital of the world. But may I say this to you? Our need is not education. It's redemption. Our need is not social change, but we need salvation. You know what our world's all about right now? It's social change. They're trying to change the gender line, the marriage lines. We're living in a perverted, ungodly, destitute, wicked society. Our need was not religious information. We got a bunch of that. Salvation is not by baptism, not by church membership, not by turning over a new leaf. It is a spiritual translation that only comes through Christ. Oh, dear God. He's been compared to Alexander the Great. By the way, both of them died when they were 33 years old. Charles Ross Wheaty wrote this about Christ and Alexander. It's so I can magnify Jesus. Jesus and Alexander died at 33. One lived and died for self. One died for you and me. The Greek died on a throne. The Jew died on the cross. One life was a triumph, as it seemed, the other but a loss. One lad led vast armies forth, the other walked alone. One shed a whole world's blood, the other gave his own. One won the world in life and lost it all in death. The other lost his life to win the world to faith. Jesus and Alexander died at 33. One died in Babylon. One died on Calvary. One gained all for himself, and one himself he gave. One conquered every throne, the other every grave. Jesus and Alexander died at 33. The Greek made all men slaves. The Jew made all men free. One built a throne on blood. The other built it on love. One was born of the earth. The other was born from above. The other gave up all, and all to him be given. The Greek forever died. The Jew forever lives. He loses all who gets gifts and wins all things who gives. Man gives Jesus a cross, but God gave him a crown. Man gives Jesus a grave, but God gives him glory. Man gives Jesus anguish, but God gives him adoration. Man expelled Jesus, but God exalts Jesus. Man gives Jesus thorns, but God gave him a throne. Man pierced him with nails, but God gave him a name. And then that leads us to our last and final point. Let's celebrate the crowning of Christ. In verses 9 through 11, wherefore, after we read all of this, after he renounced himself, after he humbled himself to death, after he bore our sins on the cross and rose the third day, he said, wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and give him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. Verse 9, we need to accept his exalted position. I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. He's not down low now. He's on the right hand of God. He's exalted. He's retained his crown and his throne. He's living up high, that we are that are down low one day can go up high. He's highly exalted. That means to be super exalted. That's what Paul was trying to say. He was given a name. That name is Jesus. Then we adopt his confession in verse 11, that every tongue should confess him. I tell you what, we need to do instead of talking about ourselves all the time. We need to exalt Jesus. We need to lift up Jesus. John said, if I, the Son of Man, be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Who will have all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. I've come across this little song or in a form of a poem called The Beautiful Name. I know of a name, a beautiful name, that angels brought down to earth. They whispered it low one night long ago to a maiden of a lowly birth. I know of a name, a beautiful name, that unto a babe was given. The stars glittered bright throughout the grand night, and angels praised God in heaven. The one of that name, my Savior, became my Savior of Calvary. My sins nailed him there. My burdens he bare. He suffered all for me. I love that blessed name. That wonderful name. Made higher than all in heaven. 'Twas whispered, I know, in my heart long ago, to Jesus my life was given. That beautiful name, that beautiful name from sin had power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name, the name of Jesus. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. You're listening to me here today on this Christmas day by way of live stream. There's just one way to heaven. It's not through this preacher. It's not through this great Baptist church. No, it's through the name of Jesus. And let me say this frankly to you. I don't want to be negative as I close. But if you don't confess him here, don't you think you're going to get out away from ever confessing him? Because see, he's going to resurrect the just. And he's going to take us up at the rapture. And the rest of the dead will be in the lake of hell, lake of fire. But one of these days he'll resurrect your soul out of hell. And resurrect your body out of the grave. And you that said you won't confess him. And you that said you can't profess him. And you that said you will not profess him. You will confess him one day. Because every knee shall bow. You're going to bow. And you will say he is Lord to the glory of the Father. But here's the bad thing. It will be eternally too late. And that is when God will himself cast you into the lake of fire. Body, soul, and spirit. And you'll be there forever. You say, why am I going to hell? It's not because of your drinking. It's not because of your drugs. It's not because of your pornography. It's not because of all your marriage problems. It's not because you've been in jail or you're moral or whatever it is. It's because you rejected the name of Jesus. You rejected the gospel. You refused to confess him. The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But you refused. The Bible says you will not come to have life. It's not that you can't. The Calvinists say, well, a certain group can't and a certain group can. No, ladies and gentlemen, he's died for the whole world and you can confess him. Your problem is you won't. I pray right now. I beg God right now. You'll see yourself lost and trust him as Savior. Let me pray for you. I want you to have a wonderful Christmas day. But remember, his name, Jesus. Say it with me there by your table. Say it with me right now. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonderful name. Our Father, I thank you for the name of Jesus. I thank you that it's a highly exalted name. Thank you for this Christmas day. Bless our church family. It's bad outside, Lord, but I'm thankful that we've got this kind of technology that we can have service anyway. Now, we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.